Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we are live here on a Saturday in the A, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Nick Cale with you as we're going to hang out for the next, 2.5 hours. Sound good? Because we're going to lead you right into the season opener for Atlanta United coming up at 2:30 today. Phone number, as always, 404-741-0929. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And you can get me on Twitter at Nick Cale, K-A-Y-A-L. Phones, texts, tweets, we do it all. Garrett Chapman is the chairman of the board today. He's in for Dylan Matthews. What's up, G?
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. It's another beautiful day. We got G-Day happening. I mean, there's a lot of sports happening, and I am so excited for Atlanta United to take on Orlando City. That's always a fun matchup. Because
it is.
Oh, man, it's always a great time.
And this is a great time of year. Like, you just wake up this morning, a little overcast, maybe a little cooler than you would like. I personally want it in the high 70s this time of year. The warmer, the better. But I'm just thinking, like, I'll be damned, though. We don't have something for everybody today, don't we? Like, we got G-Day, Five Stripes MLS opener, Braves and Cubs continue their series, Hawks in the middle of a great run with a new head coach. We're 12 days away from the NFL draft with the Atlanta Falcons. Like, if you love sports, this is a freaking amazing time of year. Maybe it's not as great as football season in general, but there's just more options. There's something for everybody. And speaking of options, I'll be damned if the Falcons don't have... I'll phrase it this way. I can't recall a team picking in the top four, top five of an NFL draft that literally had so many plausible options as the Falcons do. I mean, we have no idea how this thing's going to shape up in 12 days, right? We got college football spring games today. I'm a total college football nerd. I mean, it was great hearing Chuckery and Randy Mack and Goforth talking some college ball. Yeah, you had a few spring games last weekend. You have six other SEC spring games today that doesn't involve the Georgia Bulldogs. And then you got a few next weekend as well. And I'm like, yo, can we get to Labor? Like, as great as this time of the year is, just hearing college football chatter, I'm like, yo, let's get to Labor Day already. Let's kick this season off. Georgia Clemson, let's do it. I'm ready. God, I love it. We'll get into our preseason top 10 rankings in the spring coming up later in the show today. We're going to be all over the place. We're literally going to cover G-Day, college football, soccer opener, baseball, hoops, the NFL draft. Not going to spend a ton of time on any of them. It will not be an hour-long conversation on the draft, an hour-long conversation on baseball or anything like that. So we're going to be moving rapid fire today. It's a short show. So at any point you want to jump in on any of the discussion points, you can do so. 404-741-0929. But let me start here. Sometimes in sports, because we all, whether we have a talk show or if you host a podcast or if you just go to your local, sports bar with your buddy, in non-pandemic times, and you sit down, you have a couple cocktails, and you start debating sports, we all believe the script has already been written and published, right? Like, we all think we have the answers. We think we know, oh, this is how this guy's going to do this year. This is how far this team will go this year. This guy's got no shot. That team's a lock to win it all. And as Jim Mora once famously said years ago with the Colts, when he was the head coach, you think you know, but you don't. And you never will. And I think that's the beauty of sports, is when the script gets completely flipped. Sometimes in your favor, for your favorite player, your favorite team, your favorite college, your favorite franchise. Sometimes you have great aspirations and huge expectations, and you lay a dud. And I think that is what we are seeing right now with Atlanta sports. Most notably, with the baseball team and the basketball team, as we are just beginning the marathon that is 162 in Major League Baseball, and as we come down the stretch run here of a 72-game NBA season. Let me start with the Braves. You know, we just assumed that the Braves were going to waltz to 95 wins. They're just going to punch their ticket back to the National League Championship Series. They're going to take on the Dodgers, who are 12-2 right now, by the way. Or maybe we're just going to go one step further because we think everything's linear and we're going to get to the World Series. And so far, through 14 games, the Braves have been sputtering and streaking. They started off 0-4. Then they ripped off 4 in a row, should have been 5 in a row if it wasn't for awful Major League Baseball replay. And then they lost 4 in a row to fall to 4-8, and now they've won 2 in a row, and they're 6-8. The Braves have been a roller coaster through 14 games. Go back to the Nationals last year. They came off of a 2019 World Series championship, and what happened? I get it, 60-game season, didn't work out for them, right? Now, granted, we are still only like 1/15th of the way through a Major League Baseball season, but sometimes hangover effects are real. I mean, and what you see early on sometimes is an indicator of what you're going to see as the season progresses and develops. This team did not hit in spring training. They've had Ronald Acuna on a torrid pace. I mean, he's leading like every category that matters, and the ones he isn't, he's either tied for first or he's in second. Like, Ronald's going to win the MVP. I can't wait to cash that future bet, by the way, at 12-1. It's going to be a nice payday for Nicky. I mean, Freddie's had moments where he's hit. And then other guys, for a good chunk of this season, haven't really hit. And when we do get hitting, the pitching is awful. Now we got Max on the 10-day IL, Soroka. You got two of your three best pitchers not available. And through 14 games this year, the Braves, if my math is correct, have had 8 one-run games. I don't go through and look at all the schedules and the results of all other 30 teams in baseball, but I would imagine nobody's played more one-run games than the Atlanta Braves. And now the offense has gotten going recently. 2-game streak against the Cubs. You go for 3 again today. They now have the 4th most runs in the National League, but they've also given up the 4th most runs allowed in the National League. Long season, I get it, but just start thinking, you know, and look, the first true measuring stick for me in baseball is Memorial Day weekend, and we're still 5.5 weeks away. But sometimes in sports, we think we have it figured out. We think that the story's been written, and we're just going to get to the final chapter. And then all of a sudden, all those chapters before it are completely different. That's the feeling I have right now. Even though they've won 2 in a row, that's where I'm at with the Braves. But with sports and the script being flipped, let's go to the Hawks. 13-20 when Lloyd Pierce is fired. The Hawks were a lost cause 33 games into the season. Coaching change, and now all of a sudden with Nate McMillan at the helm, they've gone 16-6. They won 39% of their games with Lloyd Pierce. They have won 73% of their games with Nate McMillan, who, oh, by the way, has about a half of a team. He can't even field his desired starting lineup because this team has literally been dealing with the injury bug since Jump Street. And here we are with the Hawks. If the playoffs started today, they'd be in the 4-5 matchup against Boston. Not a matchup I love, by the way. I know Shaq was pretty much saying, hey, I'm going on record now Thursday night on TNT with Ernie, Kenny, and Charles. Hawks are winning a first-round series no matter who they play. Yeah, I would not go that far. If it's against the Knicks or the Hornets, all right, yeah, I'm in. First-round playoff series victory. Boston, no. Boston's underachieved, but Boston has a ton of experience. And by the way, the Hawks got worked by Milwaukee on Thursday. But, you know, it's amazing the way the season plays out. You know, you talk about a story and a script and sticking to what everybody expects. We all thought Hawks, yeah, 8 seed, maybe 7 seed. You know, we took a few calls, you know, a couple of guys. Yeah, I could see a 6 seed. Not many thought above a 6 seed. Almost nobody thought first round playoff series victory. But sometimes in sports, the script gets flipped. The Hawks, yeah, this was a building year. This was a year where, hey, if we make the playoffs, it's a success. And then with the Braves, it's, you know, we're just getting right back to the NLCS. Pick up right where we left off. We're going to finish the job. That was actually my preseason prediction. So in a way, I'm kind of ripping myself because I just assumed the Braves would get back there. But now all of a sudden, it's like, you know, the baseball team, boy, we just... You know, we got to get our starters back. We got to get Fried and Soroka on the bump together healthy, get that rotation 1 through 5. We got to get some guys hitting. We've already seen Freddie elevated to the 2-hole outside of Ronald. You know, is Marcel going to get going? Come on, man. You got an $80 million contract. Let's go. You know, there's a lot of things we're talking about on a daily basis. And yet the Hawks, all of a sudden, matchup dependent, could end up winning a first-round playoff series. Just crazy how the script gets changed in sports. As soon as we think we have everybody pegged and everybody figured out, boom, complete 180, and the team that we thought was, you know, 2 years away from legit contention, all of a sudden the top half of the team in their conference, and the team that we thought, like if we were to make a poll question, who's got the best chance of winning a championship, the United, the Braves, the Hawks, the Falcons, the Dogs, I think it's a runaway winner, it's the Braves. Yet here the Braves are, 6-8. Zero consistency, up and down, 0-4, 4-4, 4-8, 6-8. You know, they might win 2 or 3 more in a row, get back to 8-8. That's the way this season has gone so far. But that's the beauty of sports. It's so wildly unpredictable. That's why it's the ultimate reality television show. And we are seeing that right now in the heart of Atlanta sports. All right, 404-741-0929 is the number if you want to jump in, 741-0929. Joe Patrick will join us coming up at 1 o'clock today. We'll talk Braves and Five Stripes with Joe. A little short show today as we're here until 2:30. But when we come back, there's one thing I really want to get into with the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL draft. I saw a mock from Mel Kiper that I thought was pretty interesting. And it is one that I can get completely on board with. I mean, like, I'm at the point now where if Garrett Chapman is doing a 7-round mock draft on Odyssey.com, I'm reading it. I can't consume enough of these. I've seen a lot I like, a lot I don't like. But one that really stood out to me was from Mel Kiper in his most recent one. We'll get into that next. And I'll tell you why. It will appease everybody. Terry Fontenot, Arthur Smith, and all the fans. We're back after this. It is the Nick Kale Show here on a Saturday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. All right, good to have you guys in here, 12:20 on a Saturday as we roll till 2:30. We'll lead you right into the pregame coverage of Atlanta United MLS season debut against Orlando. Joe Patrick joining us at 1 o'clock. Today we'll talk Braves and United with him. Also going to get to some Hawks later in the show, some Braves, some G-Day college football stuff as well. Very busy show, 404-741-0929. If you guys want to jump in on the phones, you can hit me up on Twitter at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. So Mel Kiper Jr. Put out his latest 2-round mock draft, and I thought this was really, really interesting for the Atlanta Falcons because I don't know how anybody, and I'm sure now that I say that, somebody will disagree, but I think there's going to be a strong overall approval if this would play out for the Atlanta Falcons. Because if it plays out this way, which I'll tell you about in a second, I think Terry Fontenot's happy. I think Arthur Smith is happy. I think a bulk of Falcons fans would be happy. So Mel Kiper's mock 2.0, two-round draft. He has the Jaguars taking Trevor Lawrence, of course. The Jets taking Zach Wilson at number two. He's got the 49ers taking Mac Jones at three. I still don't believe that. I feel like the pick will be Justin Fields at three. So if you're a Falcons fan, that would sting a little bit. But at number four, Mel Kiper has the Miami Dolphins trading up with the Atlanta Falcons. So I'll read this for you, and then we'll get some thoughts on it. Okay, so projected trade, Miami moves up, but not for a quarterback. We know the Falcons have talked to other teams, and I'm quoting Mel Kiper here, about moving out of the number four spot, and they could be open to the highest bidder. There's a catch, though. They surely don't want to move too far down, or else they'll miss on their guy, which I agree with. So this trade allows them to add assets and still pick at number six. I don't think it would cost the Dolphins a first rounder in 2022, but it's tough to predict without knowing who else is bidding. For this exercise, I think it would take something like a second and a third round pick next year for Miami to move up two spots. So the Falcons in Mel Kiper's world would get a second and a third in next year's draft in 2022. So we'd have a one, two twos, and two threes. I actually think to move up from six to four, I would certainly ask for a one, and I don't think getting a one is that difficult. So I disagree a little bit there with Mel Kiper, because, hey, if you truly want somebody at four that you value and covet, and you believe he's a franchise guy no matter what position it is, I think a one would make sense. Why would the Dolphins move up two spots? Well, to ensure that they get their guy and ensure that another team doesn't trade into that spot to take that guy. So after all of that, Mel Kiper says the Dolphins trade up with the Falcons from six to four for tight end Kyle Pitts. So you've got the Miami Dolphins doing everything they can to give Tua Tagovailoa every weapon imaginable. He has Will Fuller from the Texans, Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki, and now Kyle Pitts. You know, with a great coach, a really good defense, the Dolphins would be set. You could maybe argue that the Dolphins could challenge the Bills for the division and certainly a wild card spot. Okay, so then at five, the Bengals go Penei Sewell. And at number six, after the Atlanta Falcons trade down from four to six with Miami, they acquire a 2022 second and third round pick. The Atlanta Falcons select quarterback Trey Lance from North Dakota State. So here's why I like this. Because we're adding picks in rounds two and three next year. That means we're going to have five picks between our first, our two seconds, and our two thirds next year. You draft Trey Lance, almost everybody universally agrees this kid's going to be good, but he's a project. He played in 2019, did not play in 2020 at North Dakota State because of COVID. FCS football, they played, I think, a total of one game last year, and that was it. And the kid is a dual threat. I mean, you guys know the scouting report on Trey Lance already, but it's a perfect guy to put behind Matt Ryan for a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is. Give him every opportunity to learn under Arthur Smith, under the tutelage of Matt Ryan. He's not pressured to come in going from 2019 FCS football to 2021 professional football. It makes a ton of sense. And you get multiple picks. Here's Mel Kiper's explanation on Trey Lance. He says, so, new general manager Terry Fontenot and coach Arthur Smith move down two spots, add extra assets for a rebuilding team, and still get a franchise quarterback. The 20-year-old Lance is green. He started just 17 games in college, all against FCS competition. The Falcons can let him sit behind Matt Ryan for at least a season. And here's a list Lance will join since the 2006 NFL draft. Six quarterbacks in the last 14, 15 years with fewer than 20 college starts have been taken in the first round. And guys, I'll tell you right now, it's kind of hit or miss. It's almost 50-50. So since 2006, if you started in less than 20 games in your college career, much less played FCS football, you are in a group of Mitch Trubisky, 13 starts at North Carolina, bust. Cam Newton, 14 starts at Auburn, success. Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State, 14 starts, bust. Mark Sanchez, 16 starts. Yeah, he got to a couple of AFC championships because Rex Ryan had a great defense. Mark Sanchez, failure. Kyler Murray, 17 starts, Oklahoma, absolute success. And Ryan Tannehill, 19 starts at Texas A&M, Dolphins, bust. Titans, resurrection. So you have Trubisky, Haskins, Sanchez, You have Cam, Murray, Tannehill. Okay. So with Trey Lance and all of those guys, Trubisky played at Carolina, Cam played at Auburn, Ohio State, USC, Oklahoma, Texas A&M. They all played for major Power 5 conference football. Trey Lance played at the FCS level. Now, I'm not knocking it. You know, Carson Wentz played at North Dakota State. Ben Roethlisberger played at Miami of Ohio. You go throughout the NFL, not everybody played at Alabama, Ohio State, Texas, and USC. All right? You can get good quarterbacks from lesser programs. But there's the history of limited starts in college. It's literally kind of a flip of the coin. But you're moving back. So I like it. And you're getting your quarterback, who also doesn't have to play right away. All right, so now part two of the Mel Kiper mock, the two-rounder. Let's get to the 35th pick for your Atlanta Falcons early on a Friday as we pick at number 35, and they select Gregory Rousseau, defensive end edge rusher from Miami. You know, I did the morning show with Hugh and the midday show with Randy Mack over the last couple of weeks, and one of the things we got into was how, you know, all these names that we talk about in the fall and the winter, and then you get to the spring and it's like, that guy's a thing of the past. How many times, once the Falcons were out of playoff contention, which I hate to break to everybody, was when they were 0-5. I know mathematically we were still alive, but we knew the season was over. You know, and we would do those Falcons Facebook flocks on Sunday after agonizing defeat. And me and Willie P were talking, got to get a pass rusher. Gregory Rousseau, COVID opt-out from Miami. He's legit. 15 and a half sacks 2 years ago in 2019. I tell me right now, if you're a Falcons fan, how do you not sign up for this? That was a guy that we were all talking about as a top 10, top 12 pick back in November, December, and January, and he falls to us at 35 in the second round. So now, if you are scoring at home for the Atlanta Falcons, you get your franchise quarterback who doesn't have to play from day one, and you get an edge rusher who is 6'7", 270 pounds, had 16 sacks 2 years ago, and could be an absolute force in the NFL for a team desperate to find somebody worth a grain of salt next to or opposite of Grady Jarrett. I would sign up for that mock draft in a heartbeat right now. You give me Trey Lance and Gregory Rousseau, that beats Kyle Pitts and Travis Etienne or any other combination of skill player at 4 and 35. So I'm getting my quarterback, I'm getting my pass rusher, and I'm getting a second and a third round pick next year, which I actually think is a little bit on the low end. I would not rule out being able to get a one from Miami, who only has to move up two spots. You know, if Denver is sitting there at 9 and they want to trade up because they think Drew Lock is a bum, which I think he is, you're definitely getting a 1 for sure. You might be able to get a 1 and 2 twos, a 1, a 2, and a 3. And I still think multiple ones are in play. How bad do these other teams want that pick? How bad do they want to get to 4 and get a quarterback? Because we know Lawrence is 1. It feels like a certainty Zach Wilson is 2. Although I've talked to a few people this week, off the record, who said, don't rule out Justin Fields, number 2 to the Jets. It probably won't happen, but don't rule it out as 0% chance of happening. So I just, at this point, I don't think Justin Fields is going to be there. I think he's going to the 49ers at 3, and if I believe what I was told, there's still a sliver of a chance that Justin Fields could go two. And if he does, well, then I think Zach Wilson goes three to the 49ers. So I think if you're a Falcons fan and you are in the market and you want and you love the idea of quarterback at four this year, and obviously for the sake of, you know, being the starter within 2 years, it's probably Trey Lance or Mac Jones at this point. And I don't see, I refuse to buy, and I'm not a Mac Jones hater. Like, I grew up a Bama fan. I think Mac Jones really good. You know, it's funny. I heard Brian Baldinger on one of our other Odyssey.com stations out in the Bay Area. He was doing a hit on the Niners, and he said, well, tell me what's the difference between Mac Jones and Joe Burrow? Stand them up against each other side by side. Other than the fact that Burrow is slightly more athletic and quicker, what's the difference? Like, you know, Mac Jones gets knocked a lot. Well, you know, he was just getting behind the wheel and driving the Ferrari. His numbers were better than Tua. I mean, he put up ridiculous numbers. Which is also another thing that I don't get, is with this trade for Mel Kiper, Dolphins trading up with the Falcons and not going quarterback, it makes sense. Because I refuse to understand the, I don't know if it's just the writing off of Tua. So let me get this straight. Rookie quarterback, massive hip injury, coming off of surgery as a rookie in a pandemic offseason. The guy goes out and wins two-thirds of his games. And yeah, he wasn't a stat monster. He wasn't putting up fantasy numbers. But he was winning games as a rookie in a pandemic year where the learning curve was severely altered. And all of a sudden, he's a bum. It's like, oh, Miami's trying to move on. What? They just drafted him fifth overall. Everybody told us he was the second coming in the NFL. He was going to be great. Maybe not as good as Joe Burrow, but he was going to be a legit franchise guy. And now teams are ready to move on. All right. Falcons fans, I'd love to get your thoughts. You trade with Miami. You go from 4 to 6. You take Trey Lance. You pick up a 2 and a 3 next year. And then at 35, you get the guy we talked about all fall, Gregory Rousseau, edge rusher from Miami. Your quarterback, your pass rusher, more assets, more capital. How could you be angry at that? 404-741-0929. We'll take your calls. And also, I will debunk that Matt Ryan does not fit in the modern era of quarterbacks. That's next. Stay there. All right, Joe Patrick coming up in just about 20 minutes to talk some Braves and Five Stripes. We'll get to the Hawks later, some college football. G-Day is upon us, a lot of spring games in the SEC. But talking a little Falcons NFL draft right now, we just got into it last segment. Mel Kiper's two-round mock where the Falcons trade down from 4 to 6 with the Dolphins. They pick up a 2 and a 3 next year, slide down two spots, still get Trey Lance, and then at 35, they get the edge rusher that a lot of us talked about throughout the fall that is quickly slid down the first round and into night number 2, and that would be Gregory Rousseau from the U. 404-741-0929. I got to think, as a Falcons fan, you'd be ecstatic with that. You address the present with the edge rusher, a need that needs to be filled right now, and you address the future with a quarterback who's pretty gifted that 2 years from now could come in and put up some big-time stats, hopefully some wins as well. Let's get to your calls, 404-741-0929. Dave in McDonough is going to lead us off. What's up, Dave?
Hey, my man. Listen, I want to give kudos to you and thanks. You are the first sports media guy that I've heard in Atlanta actually give Mac Jones a little love. I'll be the first to say I'm a homer, so throw it out there for Bama. But here's the problem I can't get past. I have no problem with the Falcons if they get an option to pick up Justin Fields. I think he's a phenomenal athlete, and he'll be a great quarterback somewhere. I have no problem with Mac Jones. In fact, I put them one right next to each other. This Trey Lance stuff is about to drive me out of my mind. Listen, the kid may be athletic. He may have skills, and I'm not saying he doesn't. But who the heck has he played against, and who did he compete against to get the starting position at South Dakota State? I'm sorry. The kid, Mac Jones, has done everything was ever asked of him, followed up, as you said, behind Tua, threw out remarkable numbers, went to the Heisman vote, and is being talked about by Shanahan in San Francisco, Belichick in New England. But when we talk about Atlanta's possible picks, if they decide to go with a quarterback, it's either Justin Fields or Trey Lance, and no one's even throwing Mac Jones' name up there. Matter of fact, your morning show with Hugh and the guys in the morning on the weekdays, that guy had to eat crow because he said Mac Jones who at the beginning of the season. I mean, this kid can do no more than he's done, and I just wish Atlanta would realize that if they get Mac Jones, if they get him, they got a stellar of a pick because, to be honest, Matt Ryan is not the reason we're not as good as we should be. And if you want someone to be able to run the offense that we currently have with some minor modifications, to me, Mac Jones is Matt Ryan part two. He's intelligent. He's going to be around for a while. He's a big kid. He's got a great arm. He's athletic. He's not a runner. But do you want one of those in our offense? And
that's
just
a good point. You know, Dave, it's funny.
I
did a show. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much, Dave. Like I did a show on this like 3 or 4 months ago back in January where I said, I think Mac Jones could be Matt Ryan 2.0. The question is, do you want that? And I don't think it comes down to, you know, there's a part of it that says, okay, well, what are you looking for in your offense stylistically? And then you start checking off boxes. Okay, does Mac check this box, or does Justin Fields check that box, or does Trey Lance check that box? Now, I would say this. I think here's the deal. Number one, if Belichick and Kyle Shanahan truly love Mac Jones, well, then the Falcons should too, because I think those two kind of know what they're doing. That being said, I think the ceiling is probably higher on Justin Fields and Trey Lance. I think there's a ceiling on what Mac Jones can be. And I think Mac Jones can be pretty darn good. But can he be generational? Can he be exceptional? Can he be elite? I don't know that he can be elite. He can be a franchise guy, but there's a sharp distinction and differentiation between the elite quarterbacks and the franchise quarterbacks. Same in the NBA, the stars and then the all-stars. Same in baseball, the ace or the number one pitcher for said team. There's a big difference there. And it's going to come down to, I think, what Arthur Smith wants to do. And you can sit there and say, well, Arthur Smith did this with Tannehill, so you know that probably fits best with Mac Jones. But let's not pigeonhole and put Arthur Smith in a box here. Arthur Smith did what Tannehill did best. So now it's a matter of, well, I got Matt for the next year or two, but this is what I truly envision my offense being. Who fits that? And we'll find out. Ken in Riverdale is next. What's up, Ken?
Hey, good morning, my man. How's it going?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Listen, I heard your prognostication of the Dolphins trading with the Falcons, moving up maybe to get Trey Lance and get a couple of number ones, number twos. I'm only doing that if Justin's off the board. If Justin is still sitting there and we're picking at number four, I got to go get Justin Fields, man.
Agreed.
To me, he's a generational quarterback. I got an offensive-minded head coach who's going to coach this dude up. He can be Patrick Mahomes times two, okay? So tell me, but I got a question for you. Tell me about the defensive end. I really haven't ever heard of the guy.
And Gregory Rousseau?
Yeah, why is his stock falling?
I think it's a combination of the combine. Well, there was no combine this year, but pro days, and then also being a COVID opt-out. But there's also, like, when you start looking at mock drafts, you know, from like 18 on down to 27, 28, you see a couple of different edge rushers. You see the kid from Georgia, Azeez Ojulari. You see the kid from Penn State, Jason Owe. You see Quiddy Pay from Michigan. I think just that those guys top of, now, obviously there's a lot of, you know, research and they do a lot of digging on these guys, but I think it's also a part of it being a lot of top of mind awareness that these guys played a college football season in 2020. Where Gregory Rousseau sat out. So we're almost talking about 2 years removed from the last time he was competitive on a field.
Gotcha. Okay, I probably wouldn't have a problem with that. doing that, those scenarios that you brought up. But I, like I said again, only do it if Justin's off the board, man.
All right. Take I appreciate care. The call, Kenny. Thank you. And in the McShay, or not McShay, the Kuiper mock, he's got Justin Fields there for the Falcons. So this is the other thing that's an interesting little caveat to it. So based on Kuiper's trade, Falcons go from 4 to 6. They take Trey Lance at 6, swapping picks with the Dolphins, but they're passing on Fields. Detroit at 7 goes Jamar Chase. Carolina at 8 goes Devontae Smith. Micah Parsons 9 to the Broncos. And then at 10, we have a trade. The Cowboys trade out of 10 with the Patriots at 15, and the Patriots come up to number 10 and take Justin Fields. Belichick and Fields makes me want to vomit. That is going to be a tough one to swallow. You know, the team we lost to in the Super Bowl that we had down 28-3, and now they get the guy that should have been our quarterback at Georgia that we just passed on for Trey Lance, and he goes to Belichick. That's going to be a tough one for you to swallow as a Falcons fan. All right. I want to get to, and we'll continue on with some calls a little bit later. But here's one thing, speaking of Matt Ryan. You know, I understand. We all want Josh Allen. We all want Justin Herbert. We all want Patrick Mahomes. We all want Deshaun Watson, right? We want the arm with the legs, with the brain, with the intangible from a national championship winning college football team. Like, if you're building the perfect quarterback, that's what you want, right? Give me all the attributes. Give me all the intangibles. Bing, bang, boom. I get it. But one thing that we are doing here, because we are so enamored with, oh, dude, that guy, rocket for an arm. You see his 40 time? He just ran 50 yards untouched. Guys, the Lamar Jacksons are a rare breed. You know, not everybody's going to get his mobility with Aaron Rodgers' arm, with Peyton Manning's brain, with Tom Brady's accolades, with Tua's college football pedigree and record. Like, that's, you know, if we're creating a player in the Madden video game, okay, I get it. But this is real life. And I feel like we are so enamored with certain attributes that we're starting to knock Matt Ryan, who one of our last callers, Dave, said, you know, Matt's got his flaws, but Matt's not the reason we continue to fail. It's a lot of other things around him. Now, I don't need to give you Matt Ryan's career numbers from the pocket with his arm. We know Matt Ryan was a pretty darn good pocket quarterback, right? You know, maybe one day he's in the Hall of Fame. If not, he was an MVP. He was pretty damn good. I just want to go to the mobility thing, the legs thing, right? So here are the top five quarterbacks last year in the NFL 2020 and their ability to avoid pressure. It's called the pressure avoidance rate. Basically, you drop back, all hell breaks loose. What do you make happen? And how successful are you? So here's the top five. Pressure avoidance rate 2020. Josh Allen, number one, at 29.2%. Kyler Murray, number two, 28.1%. Number three, Matt Ryan, 17.9%. Ahead of Patrick Mahomes, 15.2%, and Lamar Jackson, 15.1%. Okay, here's another one for you. The highest graded quarterback outside of the pocket. Number one, Deshaun Watson, 92.0 quarterback rating. Number two, Patrick Mahomes, 91.8. Number three, Aaron Rodgers, 87.7. And then number four, Matt Ryan, 85.9. Guys, I get it. Matt Ryan is not Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, but he's also not a sitting duck and a statue in the pocket that when things go awry, he can't roll right, roll left, step up, step aside, and still make it happen. He's one of the best at doing it. He really is. So, yeah, I get it. We want the next toy. I'm all for it. I'm all for Justin Fields. If he's there at 4, get him. But let's stop acting like, You know, Matt is Byron Leftwich in the pocket, and he's gotten zero mobility at all and doesn't make it happen. So earlier this week, morning show, I was in with Hugh Douglas on Tuesday in for John Fricke, and we had our boy Harry Douglas on the show. I asked him about this mobility with Matt. Here's the Q&A. So, Harry, I'm on board with Hugh and a lot of people that, want a quarterback at four. I would love Justin Fields. And I agree with the sentiment of, look, you don't want to be picking top five too often. I don't want to be in this position again for another 15 or 20 years minimum. And I brought up some numbers because I feel like we're infatuated with a quarterback today, like a Josh Allen, a Justin Herbert, 6'5", rocket arm, but can also run. You know, we saw Justin Fields. He's 6'3", 230. You know, he's got all the skills that you require. And then I look at some of the things where people are saying, well, I need a guy that's got mobility. Now, I'm not saying Matt's going to run the 40-yard dash in 4.4. We know that. But you look at some of the numbers as far as pressure avoidance last year. There was only two quarterbacks better under pressure than Matt Ryan. It was Josh Allen and Kyler Murray. There were only three quarterbacks with a better quarterback rating than Matt Ryan outside of the pocket. Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. Are we underselling Matt's ability to make plays and improvise in a world where we are just infatuated with physical traits?
That's a tricky one. And I'll say this, because I played with Matt. And when you look at the quarterbacks now, I'll give you an example, right? We used to watch, I'm not going to say exactly who, we used to watch film on Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers back when he had Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, right? And we used to be like, damn, why do they keep getting easy plays? Like, why is nothing hard for them? Why does it look so easy? And it's because the ability of Big Ben to scramble right or scramble left and still throw it 50 or 60, and the ability of Aaron Rodgers to scramble left, scramble right, still throw it 50 and 60, and see guys wide open because they have bought that much time with their escapability. Now, sometimes those numbers, what you just read to me, can be a little misconstrued because you can scramble right outside the pocket, but you're throwing the ball 5 yards or 10 yards, and you're completing it.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So now the numbers can get a little misconstrued. What I look at is that, can you, on a consistent basis, can you scramble out of that pocket left or right, or avoid pressure in that pocket any way that you see and throw that ball 40, 50, 60, 65 yards downfield on a dime and hit a wide open guy and get a cheap touchdown? So that's how I look at it.
All right, that was Harry Douglas with me and Hugh Douglas on the morning show this past Tuesday. And yeah, I mean, I would love a guy to roll right, break contain, and then boom, fire at 65 yards, you know, like John Elway back in the day on that Koosh Vortex commercial. Remember that little football that used to fire? It was like made out of foam and you could throw it like 90 yards and it would make like a whistling noise through the air. That's all great. I would love that guy. But I mean, short of Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and maybe Russell Wilson, I'm not sure that many guys can do that. Probably Kyler Murray as well, former baseball player. All right, we will come back, kick off our number two. We got to pivot to some baseball and some football because we got Joe Patrick coming up next. We'll talk Braves and Five Stripes with Joe. Stay there. Nick Cale Show, Hour 2, coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.